Hello.
My name is Paul Rubens, a.k.a. You-Know-Who, the artist formerly known as Prince. And I want to say right now at this very moment that I feel fantastic about being
That's so fresh. Sweet. Do you really?
I really do.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hello there and welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, another installment of the podcast, which is, it's been a lot of fun. It really has been, what?
I'm so, every time you start, you're just like, I'm having a really great time.
Just
I'm
a chill podcast, bro.
Yeah, just talking to a lot of people. I'm sorry, I'm not criticizing.
No, I'm going to start again. I'll do it.
No, but you know.
Yeah, it's cool. Again. Hey there and welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. This is a top-notch podcast. If you're looking for a podcast, don't waste time dicking around with those other audio shows, as they're called in the industry.
No one calls them that.
You want Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. We get right to the heart of the matter. We're not screwing around on this podcast. Well, this is a juggernaut. No, does people say juggernaut anymore?
Yeah, but we screw around a lot.
That's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we are a ruthless podcast. We're a machine. We're a death machine. We get out there and we cast that pod like no one. I'm sick of all this humble, you know, hey, welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. You know, just have a good time. And, you know, who knew? And all that. Well, I always knew this thing is built to destroy and eat galaxies. This podcast absorbs the light around it and turns it into dark energy that will fuel more death-eating machines. That's why I'm going to start describing this podcast. Okay. No more of that humble Conan. This is the new Conan. How are you, Sona?
Humble Conan.
Yeah.
Okay. The one who compares himself to Mozart.
Well, just in my musical ability. That's all. Gorley, you're joining us as well.
Yeah, I'm fucking charged at this new podcast energy.
This is the new energy. Yeah. I'm sick of this. You know, welcome to Conan O'Brien as a friend and, you know, having a good time, but who knew? And it's just kind of nice. No. This is the Death Star of podcasts.
Yeah, that noise screams Death Star.
You're really intimidating. You're so scary sometimes.
That this podcast, it blows up worlds.
Yeah.
Blows them up by shooting that weird triangular laser beam that came out of the Death Star.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Kyber crystal ray.
What's that?
That's made from kyber crystals.
Don't do that.
Well, yeah, it's true. We're a real cool podcast.
It's true. It's true. I mean, it's just a
We're talking about the new movie Star Wars. If you're just tuning in, the Pretenders have hit the charts again. And we're all excited about Joni Loves Chachi. Up to the date. Wow, what a death-eating podcast we've got here. What a Death Star of a podcast.
Yeah, let's fuck it up.
Hey,
Star Wars references.
Yeah, we got it going. Elvis has days to live. It's August 1977. Wasn't Jaws good last year? Look, someone's going to tune in. Someone's going to listen and then write us and say, incorrect.
75.
75. True, but still a juggernaut in 76. Anyway, wow.
You've said juggernaut twice.
I'm going to start saying juggernaut.
Okay.
That's so right, because you say GIF.
That's a GIF.
Yeah.
I like a soft G.
Yeah.
And
am I
so,
Matt Jorley?
Yeah, to me, you're always you've always been Matt Jorley.
No.
Yeah. It's true. I just put a penny in the slot, and I got a nice jumball that I chewed up. Nom, 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 nom. No? No good?
That was a good sound effect.
Real Death Star.
Nom, 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 nom. This is
like
stupid.
A little squirrel.
Oh.
Is it true that I make sound effects when you eat, Sona?
Well, no. You do this
whenever
bit,
you take a bite, I go chomp.
Yeah,
when you
do
take
that.
A bite.
Yeah.
Women don't like when I do that. They take a bite and I go chomp. It makes them very self-conscious about their eating.
Yeah.
I used to think that would
get me a date. It turned out not to be true.
Oh, okay.
I was single for many years.
You should go opposite of your instincts.
I used to, when I was a dating man way back in the day, I wouldn't even know.
Dating man.
When I was a dating fellow, when mother would let me out on a date. Mother, I'm off. You'll be home soon! I don't want you running off with that hooah! Mother, please. Please, mother. I just want to take Esmeralda out for some guacamole. But anyway, I used to, whenever my date would take a bite, I'd go, chomp!
Oh, God.
And then they would say, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me that when you went out with Liza, you were doing your murder bit where you call people murderer?
Yeah, when I went on my first real date with my wife, it wasn't just that. I mutter a lot. Yeah. And like Popeye. And I was doing it to see if she's going to like me, we might as well find out now.
Yeah. Mm.
So the cabbie was saying, which way do you want to go? And I'm like, well, I'll tell you where to go.
Oh, my God.
And I was doing all my little voices and weird things that I do. And she thought, he's insane. But I said, I thought, and I think wisely, if she can clear that hurdle, which she did, then we're golden.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
And we've been married now 17 years.
Hmm.
There was a 6-year period there where she moved out and refused to speak to me.
I don't blame her.
She said I was an awful man, but then she moved back in. So we're good.
Okay.
Anyway, this is neither here nor there. We got people to interview and one person in particular today, because this podcast is not just us. Yeah. It's also the wonderful people who come on the program. And we have a fantastic guest today. My guest today is beloved. He's the creator of the iconic character Pee-wee Herman. He starred in the television series Pee-wee's Playhouse and the hilarious film Pee-wee's Big Adventure. He is currently touring cities across the country on the Pee-wee's Big Adventure 35th anniversary tour. I can't believe it's been 35 years, and what a hilarious movie. We're very excited he's with us today. Paul Rubens is here. Hey, Paul. You showed up, and the first thing you did was demand hand sanitizer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you were petrified of catching a cold.
Well, it's flu season, I want to remind you.
That's very good. So you suddenly were doing a public service announcement.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of a walking public service announcement.
And also, can I just say this? You applied it on your hands, I think, for a full 10 minutes.
Liberally.
Liberally. And can other people jump in if I'm telling the truth?
You were still
And you rub your hands for a long time as if you were not sanitizing your hands but planning world domination.
I want to just say that I thought the hand sanitizer thing was off limits, but apparently
nothing's off limits here. Okay. This podcast is on the edge.
Whoa.
You like that?
Yeah. Okay. Being as edgy as I am.
Yeah.
As zedgy.
Oh, zedgy. Very nice. You imp.
Yeah.
You impish imp.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love you? I mean, you're...
You know, I wake up feeling that in the morning when I get up. I'm like, who doesn't love me? And then, you know, all day long, I'm reminded of all the people who don't love
me. Oh, okay. Well, just try and take that good feel in the morning and then stretch that out for the whole day.
Speaking to public service announcements.
There you go. Yeah, we should all feel better about ourselves. This message brought to you.
We really should.
When I first started watching Pee-wee's Playhouse, my thought was, how did this get on TV?
At that time, many of the people who were in charge of children's programming were severe alcoholics. And had no idea what it was.
They just say, I'm just kidding.
If Judy, if you're listening, I'm just joking.
And Judy, you know who you are.
Yes, she does. And she's absolutely, I think, a teetotaler. So.
Yeah, please. She took it as a joke. We're talking about Dame Judy Dench, are we not?
Exactly.
Okay.
Used to be head of CBS children's programming.
But anyway.
Not to name drop.
Yeah.
CBS.
Yeah. Wow. Nice. That's a real network.
Yeah, it is.
I. That's the noise I make to Phil when I don't know what to say next.
Listen to this. I love that noise, and I'm going to copy that.
Did they really not know what was going on? Because it was such a strange show, and still remains a brilliantly strange and innovative show. But in those times, did they not know what this was?
You know, I don't have any idea what they knew.
Did they give you notes on the show? Did they say things like...
They gave me very few notes. The first note we ever got, we maybe got four notes in 5 years. And the first note I ever got, which, by the way, just is the first thing in the very first episode, so was a note I didn't follow, but they said, you can't stick pencils in potatoes.
What?
I think because it was dangerous or it was a weapon or whatever.
Right.
And I said, why? And they went, okay, you can. So I think they just said it because they wanted a note and they didn't have a reason, so they let me do it. And it's the first thing we did, as I just mentioned.
I have found over the years, many years in television, thank you. I'm glad you like my work. I'm filling in stuff that you could be saying. But well, that's ridiculous. Please, Paul, I'm just a person, just not a guy.
Right. Well, gosh, I mean, I'd have to be really quick, right?
Yeah. No.
I'm not. So, it's okay. I mean, you know, they have this thing called waiting a beat.
Yeah. There's no time. I'm not going to live long.
I hope that's wrong. I really, sincerely hope that that's wrong.
I have a diet very high in saturated fats. I have found in my years of television that they often give notes because they have to give notes. Now, sometimes they give really good notes, and I've had many good notes in my career, but I've also had them say things where it's clear they're getting a paycheck, they need to say something, and so they desperately say something, like no corn on the cob can never be mentioned, never mention corn on the cob, and you don't know what they're talking about, and they say
I've had that same note. That's
you had the corn,
the corn on the cob girl.
Yes.
She gives that note to every single.
Shailene, the corn on the cob girl, yes. Always gives that note.
That is a
She's been giving that
note yeah.
for over 75 years uh-huh. and started in radio.
So somebody outsmarted her and took the corn off the cob before they saw her.
I love it.
She had nowhere to go.
I love it. This is going to go all over the place because that's my style.
I'll be the judge of that, by the way.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I love the fact that maybe once or twice a year, my phone will light up. It'll be either on my birthday or it'll be on Halloween. And you'll send me the nicest little gifts and animations on my phone. And on my birthday, you bombard my phone. And I've shown it to you, Sona. Uh-huh.
It happened on this podcast.
It happened on this. That's right. It happened on the podcast. Uh-huh. I think that was Halloween.
Yeah.
It was Halloween. And you cannot imagine how many people have told me about it.
Right.
Like, I didn't know. You know, like when people go like, remember when you sent Conan a GIF? GIF?
Don't say GIF.
Well.
Sona, tell him how it's pronounced.
I think it's technically pronounced GIF.
Did you just take his side?
I'm sorry.
Sona, whenever I turn to you and I say, can you please tell celebrity guest what the real deal is, always think of what I said and then make sure it lines
Let's
up with what I said.
Let's go to the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. Paul, I mean, it's
would,
pronounced a GIF.
They would know. I think it's actually either one. Either one you like.
Well, I don't want to get... It's been a long time since I've been that angry and I apologize. I flew off the handle. But it was. We were shooting a podcast, taping a podcast, whatever the kids say, and my phone makes a little vibrating sound because I'm kind enough to turn off the noise. And I look, and there's a dancing animated skeleton wishing me a happy Halloween, and it's from you. But the really impressive thing is on my birthday, you do it all day long. You start early in the morning, and you go all day. And I am such a child. I go up to people, and I go, look what Paul Rubens sent me. And it's a GIF that anyone can send. But I'm so delighted that it came from you. And it's always this great 1930s, 1940s animation. And it's, you know, happy birthday stuff. It's really fun.
I like it myself. I'm happy to, and I do it all day long, like you just said. I'm just going to repeat what you just said.
I know, but what I'm curious about is, on
Why?
That day, on my birthday, April 18th, everybody.
When is it?
April 18th.
So you haven't had it yet this year?
No.
In 2020. Is this 2020? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when this is going to air, but I think it's going to air before April. But I'm going to tell you this. On April 18th, and please, if you have to get me a gift, you know.
I'm getting you a GIF, not a gift. Multiple gifts. Quite a few, as you just mentioned, to all your readers. I mean, your listeners.
They're readers. This is put out as a magazine.
Really?
Yeah. This is, we're doing this. We tape it. And then we have a very nice person here at the show who types it out in a stenography pool and then sends it off. And it's distributed as a magazine. It does very poorly.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a very bad idea. We lose a lot of money on it. The point is this. You clearly spent your whole day thinking, I got to send Conan some more. And that meant that I was on your mind all day on my birthday.
You know what's really on my mind on your birthday and many other people's birthdays? You wouldn't know, so I'm going to tell you. This is so weird because I do it anyway, but I'm like kind of paranoid that I'm overdoing it, which I am overdoing it, obviously.
It's funny
but
how you overdo it.
I kind of
it, yeah.
like think, you know, is so-and-so, is Conan going like, oh my God, like, will he stop? I mean, and I think like, you're not in a position to really like rain on my parade in this particular kind of thing. You can't like text me. I mean, you could, but you would be...
If I said stop sending me happy dancing birthday cakes,
stop celebrating,
then I'm a jerk. Yeah.
So I feel like I'm kind of like
oh, there's an edge of cruelty to it.
Well, there's an edge of like schizophrenia about it because I'm really literally going, wow, should I do it again? You know, is you know, what time is it? Is it dinner time? And then I think like, yeah, send.
Right. Send. You did it right up until almost midnight. Just before midnight, you squeezed one in under the wire.
I wasn't sure where you were either. Oh, I do go past midnight also sometimes thinking like if you're still up, it's still your birthday. That's my thought on it.
Right.
I mean, maybe your readers want to like chime in on that and say they don't agree with that kind of a thing or they pronounce it Jeff.
No, it's Jeff. I think it's GIF. I go with GIF. And you know what? I'm just going to put that out there in the universe. I'm going with GIF, and let's all agree on GIF, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No, I make noises here. I can't believe you're making my noise over there.
I thought I changed it up a little.
You did change it. Yours is less desperate than mine's more of got a milky. Yours was drier.
Mine was like a little flavor of early Jerry.
That would be Jerry Orbach?
Jerry Herman.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis. Yeah, I don't know why I'm bringing Jerry Lewis up.
Well, first of all, I'm going to notice that many of your references today date from the 40s and 50s, the 1940s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I like to make references from the 2040s and 50s because I see well into the future.
Into the future.
Yes, I do. But we'll get there.
Mine are all really old references, as you just said.
You know, because I've noticed that you love old show business, and I know that as a kid— I mean, your first love was the circus. You wanted to join the circus.
I did.
You did join the circus, or you did want to?
I did want to.
Yeah.
And I did join. No, I didn't join.
What would you have done in the circus?
I was just practicing just like, yes, one line, you know, one word answers just for just 1 second. I won't do it again.
Okay.
No.
And do you like that?
Yes.
And you did murder. But you thought about joining the circus, so you loved old-time show business.
You know what? We moved when I was a little kid around fourth grade, we moved to Sarasota, Florida from upstate New York. And Sarasota at that time was the winter headquarters of the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Right.
And so I already was obsessed with show business and wanting to be an actor and perform.
Right.
And so when I got to Florida and you could walk in the supermarket and go circus, 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 normal person, circus performer, regular person, circus performer, I was so excited by that. And I kind of thought, this is as close, I may never get closer than this as terms of show business. So I kind of panicked a little bit and thought, you know, maybe you should figure out what you could do in the circus if you don't actually ever get to Hollywood or New York. Because when I was even younger, when we lived in upstate New York, I would sit on the floor watching I Love Lucy or watching my dad watch like Phil Silver's show,
Sergeant
Bilko. And I would watch my dad laughing at that. Or I would be watching Lucille Ball and laughing my head off and thinking like, I would look around and I'd be like, this can't be my real life. Like, these can't be my real parents. And like, you know.
I've got to get into this somehow.
Yeah, how am I ever going to get out of Oneonta to New York and get to Hollywood? This would be when I would be like 4 years old.
Yeah, but you took it a step further. You actually tried to get jobs. Didn't you like write Walt Disney a letter?
I did write Walt Disney. Boy, you know a lot of stuff. I wrote Walt Disney a letter. I waited by the mailbox for months for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
The letter came with a recording. I recorded a song and sent it to Walt Disney also. And it was on a reel-to-reel tape. And it was me singing Haley Mills' song, Let's Get Together, from The Parent Trap.
Mm-hmm.
And my letter was like, "Dear Mr. Disney, I am so much better than Kevin Corcoran." He was like Moochie. He was the kid who was in every Disney.
You wrote a letter that said, "Hey, that guy who's your Disney star, I'm better than him."
Yes. "You should see me, Mr. Disney, because I am so way better than this other kid."
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then you enclose the tape of you singing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a letter back from Walt Disney.
No. Oh, no, I wouldn't say that part. No, I waited every day by the mailbox and nothing ever
came.
Maybe
he passed away around then. It's possible that...
You know, I checked to make sure that he was still alive each day.
They said the day he died, he opened a letter and got really mad and then dropped dead. That's a true story. They said he opened a letter, a recording fell out. Walt Disney.
He listened to my recording.
Walt,
and dropped it.
No. And Walt Disney was enraged at the effrontery that someone said, "I'm so much better than who you've got." He said, "What child would have the nerve?" And then he just dropped. That's what I've always been told.
I know
told.
The answer to that, too. I'll tell you what child would have the nerve, and that would be Kevin Corcoran's sister, Noreen Corcoran,
oh,
who
man.
Was also a child actor. She was older than him, and she was the daughter. You know, maybe some of your listeners right now could get out their smartphones and look up Noreen Corcoran.
Noreen Corcran.
IMDb or wherever you look.
Yeah, if you're
stuff
driving,
up.
Don't do that. And also, it's a reference that even the phone will probably blow up.
No one cares, really, except me. But I care so deeply.
You care very deeply about Noreen Corcoran.
Noreen, if you're listening right now, good luck, because you would. I think she's passed away. But no, she probably hasn't.
Oh, my God. Well, you're a terrible... Uh-oh, there you go, right there.
Noreen Corcoran. She was the daughter on... She did pass away.
Yeah.
She passed away today. No, not really.
Today.
She passed away quite a while ago.
Well, this is just a downer all the way around. And a terrible moment for podcasting, I just want to say.
What date is today?
Well, we never give.
Oh, we can't say. But she died on what I think might be today. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. Is that today's date?
January 15th. Was that yesterday? What's today?
Today's the 17th.
Wait, you managed to bring up this woman who nobody listening knows about, and then we check into her and we find out that she died on the day that we're recording this podcast.
Don't forget, Noreen. I forgot her name already.
Oh, Corcoran. For God's sake, you
Noreen
just said
Corcoran
it.
Sent you. It's like a Large Marge sent you kind of story. You know, I'll never forget the first time I met Noreen Corcoran. It was on a night just like this. I knew everything about every child star at the time. And so Haley Mills was my all-time obsession.
Haley Mills. Desperately wanted to be a child star, and you were angry at the existing child stars because you thought you were better.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, be honest, demonstrably have better skills than they did at the time?
Absolutely. I mean, I wish there was someone around who could back that up, but, you know, there isn't.
Could you dance? I mean, I wanted to be an entertainer when I was a kid, and I made my parents get me tap dancing lessons.
Oh, my God.
Because I thought... And this is like the 1970s. I thought that you needed to know how to tap dance to be in show business because the only movies
you
they,
did
yes
at one point.
No,
but not
in the
30s,
in the 1930s, right. In the 70s, you needed to know Martin Scorsese, and right. You needed to have a brooding, sort of cloud over your head. No, there was no. I don't know why I got that misinformation.
This makes so much. Now I understand why you insist on tap dancing at all your parties. I never connected.
I make everyone sit.
Everyone's happy to do it. Seriously,
yeah.
They love it. They love watching you tap.
You often leave halfway through. I'm noticing it's a 40-minute routine.
I'm just going outside to have take a deep breath. That's all. It's just to collect myself because I'm so blown away by your tapping.
So. Are you, to this day, do you wish you'd been a child star? Are you thinking, I mean, it all worked out so well
yes,
for you.
Yes, no, when I actually finally, quote unquote, made it in Hollywood,
right.
I was so happy that I was older, that I was in my late 70s, I think, when that happened.
Right.
And I was very, very happy that I didn't make it as like a teenager or a 20-year-old.
It goes so badly for anyone who gets in as a child, so badly that the only example they have of it going well is Jodie Foster. Of all the hundreds and thousands of people that have been child stars, they always say, Jodie Foster turned out okay. Mm-hmm. So there's one. Everyone else murders and sets fires before they're 15 years old. Is that true, Sona?
I don't know. Natalie Portman?
Murderer.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't caught, but she committed a series of crimes in the Pacific Northeast.
Ryan Reynolds? I'm thinking about Ryan Gosling.
See, you
Gosling.
Can't even do it.
Gosling, Ryan Gosling was Jason in the Bateman? Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling, arsonist.
Oh.
Convicted.
You said
Jason Bateman?
Yeah, Jason Bateman. Have you hung out with Jason Bateman?
No, I'm too
scared.
It
didn't turn out well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ron Howard
stole jewelry from graves. That's a true story.
When I first met
these are all true stories about celebrities, and don't even bother to look it up because it's just that true. And don't bother to mention it to them or their lawyers. Ron Howard, a grave robber.
I'm having dinner with Ron Howard as soon as this is over.
Well, notice he's
he doesn't know about it yet.
Guess what? Notice this. Take a good look. He'll be wearing 4 watches and 6 rings, and they'll be covered in dirt.
Oh my God! I was at a meeting many years ago. Well, I have 2 Ron Howard stories I'd like to tell you. Really slowly, right? One of them is when I first met Ron Howard. I auditioned for Night Shift. Was that the movie with Michael Keaton? Yeah.
Yes, Michael Keaton. I believe yes, that was Michael Keaton's breakout role.
I auditioned. Well, that could have been my Rocky. That could have been me.
Did you audition for Rocky as well?
I did not.
Okay. You auditioned for Ron Howard for this big role,
you're
the role that
bringing
made
me back. You're bringing me back.
You bet. I have to.
Yes. And I blew the whole audition. I mean, one of many reasons I blew the audition, but the main thing is I couldn't not go. As soon as I sat down to go, I got to just tell you, Mr. Howard, I was so jealous of you when I was a kid because I practically had to lay down and like tell my story.
You told him how much you resented him as a child actor?
Yes, I did.
You never probably, do
I
that.
Never told you this?
No, but I'm just saying that what a mistake to tell him I bitterly hated you.
Hindsight is 20/40, isn't it? Like, isn't that what people say?
I would have known not to do that at the time. And I think it's common sense.
I didn't know.
So you told
that
Ron.
That was my second audition. The only other audition I'd ever had for a movie before that was in The Chosen with Robbie Benson.
Oh my God.
I can't even say that without laughing, but.
Robbie Benson was the teen heartthrob of the
day. That could have been my Rocky.
I think we all find the path that we're meant to find. And I read that somewhere. I think it was on a cookie.
I later went to a meeting in a skyscraper with Ron Howard and his partner. And in the middle of a pitch, I was just sort of nervously reaching around behind me on the couch I was sitting at. And I stuck my hand in the crack of the couch and there was money in it. And there was, like, coins had fallen down. And I stopped in the middle of this pitch and practically squealed like a pig and went, oh my God, there's money back here. And I stood up and pulled the cushion out and started like pulling like coins out. And then I turned around and everyone in the room's mouth, jaws were dropped open. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, people were looking at me like, are you kidding me?
You're a disaster.
It was horrible. I made so many mistakes like that.
Right.
Many. And I'd like to tell you all 40 or 50 of them right now.
I want to hear them, but first we're going to take a quick break. Now we're back. Good break, huh?
Oh, that was quick. I feel like we didn't even have a break, but
we really didn't. They're inserting some commercials later on.
Oh, okay.
Commercials that'll earn us hundreds of dollars.
Okay.
You'll see small
us.
Part of that.
Us,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, us.
Okay.
I share the wealth equally with everyone in this
really?
Room. Yes.
Have points what? In this podcast? This particular one episode? I'm just, you know,
not you.
You say yes right
you
now.
You gotta,
you're
whatever,
on, you're done.
Hey, whatever change you can find here, whatever coins you can find here, you can keep, and that is your payment.
I'd just like to point out, I'm not even on a couch. I'm in a, you know, what is this?
It's an office chair.
What do you
chair.
Call this, a chair?
Can I just say one of the things that delighted me so much in your work is the that you would call a chair, cherry, that everything was alive. When I was a kid, that was my sense of humor, is that everything was alive.
And everything ended in E.
Well,
cherry, clocky, floppy, everything ends with E.
But I really was the kind of kid that would put something in a drawer and say, thanks, drawer. And the drawer would be like, I'm just doing my part. And I'm still like that. I love a world where everything's alive. I think that's the kind of world I want to live in.
I used to like that. Now I like a world where everything is dead.
Pretty
much. No, I'm just kidding. I kid because I'm a professional kidder.
Yeah.
And I, although you would be the judge of that better than me.
I don't think so.
I'm not trying to set you up here or myself. But
You seem like a kid to me that would have, just based on your sense of humor and what you came up with, that you had, you would have had an active imagination and worked out all these fantasies in your head when you were a kid. That, you know, there are people like that, comedians I talk to where I say, yeah, I picture them up in their room creating a whole world, you know? And then there's the other type of comedian that just angrily goes out and they craft their comedy out of loathing and revenge. Which one are you? I'm going to bet the first one.
Let me think about that for 15 or 20 minutes.
You really don't understand this format, do you?
No, I was going to ask you, and then we just jumped in so fast, but the pod part of it is the part I didn't really understand. And I was going to look it up before.
I don't know. I've not been doing this very long, and I don't know why they're called podcasts. I don't know anything about it. I do it. People that have put a lot of thought into podcasts are enraged by my indifference to the whole medium. But I enjoy it, but I don't know what pod means. I don't know why it's called podcast.
Yeah, me neither. And I don't even really care. I mean, I'm here, right? I mean, I didn't go like, you know, unless you can explain what pod means, I'm not doing it.
You're just here for a free meal.
Can I just jump in with one story I just thought of that I was trying to think of? Like,
that's the whole point of what we're doing. Yeah.
Oh.
You're allowed to, when you think of something that you think
I
would be good.
I just put it in a pod and you just send it off.
Yeah. Right?
So when I put the headphones on, they still call these headphones, right?
Yes.
I put the headphones on and I listen to my voice coming through the headphones and I'm like, wow, who is that? Who's that nasally voice there? Because, you know, I just like, I don't ever like to listen to my voice. So I won't be listening to this podcast. I'm just telling you now. But when I made my tape to Walt Disney, soon after that, I think it was shortly after that, because it was the end of my singing career for many, many years, I went to New York with my dad and we went in a booth where you could make a record. You put money in and you would sing into a microphone and then a record would come out. And we lived really far away. And I probably sang the same song that I had sang for Walt Disney. This was a couple years later, so it was different technology. I went from reel to reel tape to a vinyl. And I'd like to take a break, commercial break, and then come back to the rest of the story in a couple hours.
Yeah.
I held that record on my lap all the way back to Oneonta, New York, like a 2 or 3 hour drive from Manhattan, and ran in the house and put it on the record player and listened to about the first four notes. And it was, I think, like maybe the first or second time, maybe the first. I probably recorded that thing for Walt Disney and never even checked it.
So this might be the first time you're really listening to your voice.
Right. And I freaked out so bad that I grabbed the record and ran outside and smashed it on the sidewalk.
Oh my God.
And didn't sing again until I auditioned for some musical when I was like a young teen, like 13 or something.
So you heard your voice for the first time. I mean, now with phones and everything, the technology we have now, everyone hears their voice all the time. But yeah, you hadn't heard your own voice.
No, I had it coded. I hadn't heard it before. And it was
that
horrible.
Laughing or crying? I couldn't tell.
I don't know what it was either.
Okay, well,
it was bad acting.
Finding the change in the couch did not cost you that audition.
No. Ooh.
I think it was that
good
crying
thing
that did it.
This is your show, buddy. May I call you buddy?
I wish you would.
Okay.
What
That's can you say
common.
After a story that boring?
Nothing. That was a good story. That was, wait a minute. Nothing. That was a touching story. I just picture you going out and I picture it being snowy and there's snow banks and I picture you rushing out into the snow and hurling it against the asphalt and it shatters. And then I see a bread truck going by and Mr. Pancetta leaning out and going, "What's the matter, boy?" And you say, my voice, I'll never make it in the business. He says, "Here, have a warm biscuit." And he hands you one and you bite into it and you know things will work out.
It's so close to what really happened, except he leaned out and said, "It's GIF." In that accent that you just said. I don't do accents.
You worked with, I want to bring this up because I worked with the man at Saturday Night Live for a number of years, Phil Hartman. I know you guys worked together. Did you do improv with Phil?
Yes.
Back in the day?
Yeah, he was in the Groundlings.
He was just so fantastic.
I just found a whole bunch of photos of Phil in a box that I'm going through all these, looking for all this stuff to show during the Pee-wee's Big Adventure 35th anniversary tour.
Right.
And so I found a bunch of photos of
because Phil worked on the movie with you.
Phil co-wrote Big Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people always ask me about Phil, and I always say, well, for my money, he was the best utility player that Saturday Night Live has ever had. He could play anything. He could be the dad in one sketch, then the juvenile delinquent in the next sketch. And so he was amazing that way. And the other thing that I loved about, that was remarkable about Phil, is that all the years I worked with him, people said, well, what was he like? He was always in character, kind of, when I would try to talk to him. I'd come in and I'd go, hi, Phil. And he'd be like, hello, kid. And then he'd say, keep him flying, boys. To me and the other writers, keep him flying. That's the way to go, fellas. And he would always talk like he was in a sort of a parody of a World War II movie. And then I'd see him out in the world sometimes. I'd see him walking down the street and be, hey, Phil, you know, hey, Phil, how are you? It's aces, kid. I thought, so I don't know.
He was like that.
I don't know if you broke through and saw a different Phil, but that's the Phil I always saw.
No, he was just like that with me. Me and Phil and John Paragon were the three kind of guys at the Groundlings. And we would sit in my car in the parking lot and just spent all hours and hours fantasizing about what it would be like if we were ever working actors and made our living as actors and mm-hmm. stuff. And it was just, when I think back on it now, it was so amazing and corny.
You turned me on to this amazing, like, secret magic show once, which we don't have to talk about if
we
I'm not
can,
supposed to
I
talk about it.
No, no, it's...
But you took me to, you said, hey, I've got something you might be interested in, and I thought you were going to sell me drugs, to be honest with you. And I was hoping that that's what would happen. But you didn't. You took me into this really interesting part of Los Angeles, to this magical place where they put on kind of a burlesque show. And I took my wife, and it was just amazing. And then there was a party afterwards. But it felt like it was this secret world that nobody in LA knows about. And I'm sort of loath to even talk about it because I don't want to ruin this sort of coolness of it.
Well, In actuality, they're making a documentary that's going to include quite a bit of stuff about that. The place you're talking about, the actual location of it, is called Brookledge. That's the name of this property. And it was at one time the destination for magicians before the Magic Castle. And the family, it was the Larson family that owned that property and still owns that property. And the two Larson brothers founded the Magic Castle. But their property, one of their property, Brookledge, has a little theater in the backyard that seats, I think it's about a 70-seat theater.
It's tiny.
And it's over a creek. There's a real creek that runs through this property in the middle of Los Angeles.
And there's an underground, this would be something you might know about.
I've never heard of it.
You haven't heard of this? Because it sounds so up your alley.
I don't know who you think I am, but yeah.
There's apparently like a river that runs underneath Los Angeles, and then it surfaces, or a creek, and it surfaces in this one little neighborhood, and it runs right through this estate.
What?
And so there's a little babbling brook.
Part of Los Angeles.
I can't say. Oh, I think that's too personal.
I think it was a mistake, even saying Los
Angeles. The reason is because they're making a documentary about the Magic Castle and this family
in
Brookledge.
And this will be part of it.
There's quite a bit of stuff about Brookledge in it.
Well, it was magical. And I think you must know about all kinds of stuff like that.
That's the absolute best one I know about. I do know about a few other places.
Like a couple of times, the podcast is called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. And you and I have talked recently about getting together and getting a meal. And I don't want to pick the place. I want you to pick the place.
I sent you great places, like three places. I thought we'd be doing it after this podcast, but, you know, I never heard back from you.
That's not true.
It is true.
That's not true.
Don't make me go and resend that.
You sent
email.
Me an email that invited me to...
I said, like, what do you do after the podcast that I'll be doing on this date, like weeks ago? Weeks! I mean... I'll give you one thing. It was over the holiday, so
you were probably in. I was in Stade.
San Tropez.
No, I was in Stade. I was in Stade with some of the biggest celebrities you can imagine. The Weeknd.
Oh my God.
It's a true story. I was in Stade with The Weeknd. Why are you laughing at that? Why is that funny to you?
I feel like you just said any name that you think is hip and cool.
You just saw Uncut Gems, yeah. And that's why.
No, I was in Stade with The Weeknd, and if you doubt me, you can ask The Weeknd. Oh, I'm sorry to use it.
Was it for The Weeknd?
Yeah, you were in Stade for The Weeknd.
I think you're mistaken. I didn't mean that.
I
want to do more episodes of this.
Listen, first of all, we'll see how this pans out.
I get it.
But
that's the way you want to be.
But
I know The Weeknd also, by the way.
Do you?
And The Weekday.
Listen, all of your references so far have been Betty Grable is the newest reference
the
you've
weekend.
Made.
The Weeknd. I just said The Weeknd.
You just repeated me. And I said it because I saw it on a blog. Anyway, I was in Stade with The Weeknd, so I did not see what you're talking about. And I'm a notoriously bad emailer. I'm not comfortable in the world of email. I prefer a letter in the mail. It's really how I prefer
things. I sent you several letters, too. I resorted to email only after, as I was saying to Grace Kelly and Monica just recently about this very subject.
But here's what I want to know.
Over the weekend, by the way.
Are we going to, I kept thinking, I want Paul to figure this out because I want to go someplace interesting. If it's up to me, it's going to be the Cheesecake Factory. And
that's where I wanted to go.
Did you really?
No, I was going to go to the Cheese Something Factory. But
what are you doing? You just
I'm
going
to write
pen?
Down the name so I don't have to say it out loud and see if you've ever been to this restaurant because it's so you have been.
I have been there.
That's where I was going to suggest.
Right.
Only if you.
He just wrote Hooters.
Only if,
on a piece of paper. I've been there.
Only if you had never been here because.
But I'd go there again.
It's close to here, and this time of year the view is incredible. We're not talking about Hooters, by the way. That was just you're just kidding a kidder, right?
No. I of course I did what was called a joke.
It's called Hooters.
Hooters.
Hoogif.
I will go there with you to that place. We can't say because if word gets out, let's face it, Paul Rubens and Conan O'Brien are going to a restaurant
together.
I wasn't
sure if you could even go out. Like if you go out places and people just, you know, talk to you all the time. And
you know what I do? I go out dressed as lesser celebrities so that I'm not hassled.
What?
I really do. I go out disguised as a celebrity who I believe is a notch or two below me. And I don't want to say any names because I think that's hurtful. But that way.
Write one down. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm in a total agreement over that one.
Yeah. See? But then there's this one right here.
Ooh. Yeah. Ghosty.
No, I want to be. No, I want to be bothered somewhat. I don't want to go out in disguise. I want people to kind of recognize me. And that's
I get
why.
You.
Yeah. That's why I'll go out as someone who was like in a sitcom in the 1980s and hasn't worked much since so that people go, oh, you know, and I get some attention, but not, it's not the overwhelming, there's Conan O'Brien. Well, you can just imagine the mania that would break out if I were seeing
this. I can
this
only
book.
Imagine it.
So you've been with me many times and it gets out of control.
It does not get out of control.
It gets completely out of control.
Some people look at you and they're like, yeah.
Is it him? No.
Yeah.
No. I feel like people look at me and go like, oh my God, it's not, it can't be him.
Well, let's talk about that because you made it in this huge way as this other entity. But when you walk around, people, do they know it's you right away?
I don't think they do, but you know, you know this too, or maybe you don't. Like I can never tell. And I'm always very into, as I walk down the street, I'm like, does this person recognize me? Do they recognize me?
Are you thinking about that all the time?
Oh, every second I'm wondering, are people recognizing me or not?
You know what's funny? So if they do, there's a little anxiety, I bet, that they will recognize you because then you have to engage in conversation and the bubble will be broken. But if they don't recognize you, then your feelings are hurt. So you're in a fucked up situation.
I was at your party at Christmas speaking with somebody about this very subject. I'm not making this up. And going, by the way, I am always in situations where people start to go, oh, my God, I really love you. And I love that thing you did. And it turns out to be you, the person that I was talking to. It was Martin Short.
Really?
All the time, people, I'm halfway through and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You're talking about Ed Grimley, not Pee Wee Herman. And they're like, oh, I mean, they never people go like confuse, same difference. But
people confuse
kind of like,
you with Martin Short.
Yes. That's quite often. That's,
And does anyone ever, do you think anyone ever goes up to Martin Short and thinks that they're Paul Rubens?
If they do, Martin Short wasn't kind enough to tell that to me.
That would have been nice if he said that
sure
to you.
He could have even made that up.
You know what I get
if
a lot?
You're listening, Marty. I know your friends call you Marty.
God, you're so much, you're so filled with venom.
I am. Struck a nerve. Ooh.
Yeah. A lot of people think I'm Greta Gerwig. I get that a lot now.
What?
They do.
Come
people
on.
Say, oh my God, you're so young and you're beautiful.
You're so Greta, much taller than.
Yeah, you're very tall.
How did you do Little Women?
How did you direct Little Women? And I go, I'm happy in the first part. And then I suddenly, I'm like, no, I'm not Greta Gerwig. And then I talked to Greta Gerwig and she said she does not get mistaken for me.
I want to meet Greta Gerwig. I really do.
I could
That's
make that
like
happen.
A serious, real thing. I'm saying it on your show in case she's out there or any of her friends are going, go, Greta, you know, he could be sending you gifts or GIFs or whatever on your birthday.
A lot of celebrities listen to this podcast.
Really?
And I'm going to say, and I'm not even kidding, there's a 95% chance that Greta Gerwig is listening right now.
Well, I'm out to her people already.
Yeah, well, this is faster.
All right.
You're never going to get through her people.
Okay.
You know, after Little Women, that's a lot of people.
I loved Little Women, and I loved the other movie that she made before that.
Lady Bird.
If
I was
really
testing you. I knew the name of it. Lady Bird. That's the Lyndon Johnson story, right?
It's the story of Lyndon Johnson, and the musical score was by The Weeknd. So
oh
it all
God.
Comes together.
Full circle.
Yeah. I know a lot of cool modern references. You seem to be very
backwards
and back in the 40s and the 50s, but a day doesn't go by that I'm not listening to the latest rap by Awkwafina or, wearing the latest threads. I know what to do.
Oh, no. You couldn't even think of another person to name.
I said Awkwafina, and I think that's enough. I don't think I should be required
so
to know other names than that.
Oh, no.
Paul, you and I think, don't need to know about the modern world because we both live in our own heads. We're happy where we are. We don't need to know who all these rappers are, you know? Why do I need to know what Mos Def is doing?
Oh, my God.
You're asking the wrong person, though, really. I mean,
Mos Def, that's another one, right?
Yeah.
This is more an actor now?
I know.
The Blind Boys of Alabama leading the Blind Boys of Alabama.
Yeah.
Just to make a fairly current reference from a group from the last 40 or 50
I don't think you and I
years.
Should be communicating in this modern medium. The podcast is a modern medium listened to by a lot of very young, cool people, and you and I are not qualified to be here.
What's the difference between a podcast and a radio show, by the way?
Exactly. I think that all the time.
Because I'm making a radio show, and people keep going, no, you're making a podcast. And I go, I think I know what I'm making. And they go, no, if you think you're making a radio show, then obviously you don't.
A podcast.
I love that story, don't you?
I like the beginning and I like the middle. I didn't like the end.
Okay.
The ending was disappointing.
I can fix the end. I'll take that note.
Yeah. Podcast can be listened to at any time. I suppose that's one of the big differences.
Yeah. Podcast comes from iPod. Oh, it's a pun on broadcast, but it was invented or sort of like popularized by the iPod.
I didn't know that, and I've been doing one of these for a year and a half, and I didn't know that.
I bet a lot of people that are listening right this moment didn't know that, and we would have no way of knowing whether they're lying or not. I assume they're all lying.
God,
every single one of them.
Look at that. You go angry.
They're all liars.
You go angry and bitter every time.
Right
ever
away.
Since you smashed that
every
phonograph record in the snow. You're the baker.
Mm-hmm.
You're a delightful fellow.
Thank
you. Really
you
really are. And I know you're.
Does that mean we're out of time?
No.
Are you wrapping it up right now?
I can do whatever I want.
Oh.
The great thing about a podcast.
I'm just curious.
No one's breathing down my neck.
Conserve my energy.
Are we going to go out to this place that you wrote down?
You mean right now?
I mean, can't go now for
N-A,
reasons.
Not available?
I can't go now. N-A, working. Hello.
Oh.
Ring, 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 ring. Pick up. Hello.
You mean that line of celebrities out there was all waiting to do their next podcast?
You mean the Backstreet Boys? Griffin Dunn?
Oh, my God. Wow.
Stuck again. Damn.
Right now?
Are you challenging me to come up with like boys obscure to men. Names?
Boys to men waiting out there in the hallway.
Men at work.
Yeah. Men at work out there.
Thompson twins.
There you go.
If it's an 80s name, I know it. We weren't doing 80s trivia, were we?
No, but Sade is out there waiting to talk to me.
Sade?
She told me it was Sade.
Yeah, well, she pronounces it GIF also, so.
Did you really have this evening booked? Did you think you and I were going to have to go to dinner tonight? Because I want to go to dinner with you.
I hoped.
When are we going to get to go?
Let's just say I used the word hope in my mind. But
when are we going
to
go?
But and as I got in the car to come over here, I realized, yeah, I haven't heard from him still. What is it now, 7 weeks?
All right, take it easy. I was in Stade with the weekend. What I want to do is make sure that we do this meal.
For 3 months? You were there? Okay. Go ahead. It's your show.
The weekend is a very slow skier. Listen, you and I...
Downhill skier. Huh? Isn't that the name of a movie?
Oh, my God.
Downhill racer? Downhill something.
What? Are you okay? What's happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Dunhill? Cigarettes? I'll take things that begin with dun for 100.
Well, I think we're done. How about that? Ooh. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Segue.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
We are out of time. I do have to go and speak to all the guests that are waiting to speak with me.
I have a lot of important things to do Raul myself Julia. Right now.
Oh, you do?
Oh, absolutely.
You just made it very clear that you had dinner
nothing
blocked out
to
for
do.
Me. Yeah.
No. I take it all back.
Do you have someone you can have dinner
can
with?
Can we do a second take of this whole show?
I think we just did. This is fantastic. I think you should be very happy with it.
I'm thrilled. I am so thrilled. I'm trying my best not to go dark and bitter right this second, but no, I like it. And my people will be contacting you immediately as soon as I get in the car.
You have no people, do you?
No. Paul. Listen, you seem really busy. I'm going to let you let me run. And
that was defensive. I will, you and I are going to have this dinner. We're going to have this dinner. And it's going to be a really
early
good time.
Early 2021, I'm thinking. Right?
No, we're going to do it this month.
Oh.
We're doing it this month.
I wish I could. I mean, I wish I was available.
You're booked the whole month?
Well, I'm going out on tour. I don't think I've mentioned that more than two or three times, have I?
How can people see this show? We got to get
can't.
The word out.
It's sold out. So I have no reason to plug it
whatsoever.
I love
it when people plug stuff that's sold out.
Yeah, me too.
Fuck
what a
you.
Good feeling. Hey. You want to come? Good luck.
Good luck. You missed the boat there, Skittles. What's your problem?
I'm so sorry.
It's a candy.
Okay.
Paul, thank you so much. When we do go to dinner, I will pay for 2/3 of it.
Thank you. And you can't thank me enough, I feel. You can't do enough for me, I feel.
You have dead eyes. I'll just say that at the end. You're just looking right through me.
Ooh.
Scared. Frightened. Now you're just making sounds. This is the end of the podcast. Paul Rubens.
Goodbye, everyone.
Now, Conan, you've been podcasting for about a year and a half now.
Is it a year and a half now?
Yeah. Do you feel well-seated in this industry? Do you feel like a podcaster?
I wouldn't say... The first thing that would come to mind would be Conan O'Brien podcaster.
No, I mean, obviously you have other things you do, but I'm just saying, do you feel comfortable doing it? How's it going?
I do. To be honest, no joking around, I feel, I really enjoy talking to everyone I've spoken to, and it's felt very easy and freeing.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I've noticed, though, that you've used some terminology that don't exactly gel with podcasting. For instance, these are quotes. When you're shooting a podcast, mm-hmm. tune into this show on air if you've just joined us, and how many viewers do we have? So I thought we...
Listen, let's try and remember that I came up in old school
show
business.
Yes, of course. It's understandable.
And so, and I'm new to this medium, and I tend to think of doing a show, which I've been doing for whatever, 26, 27 years. And so, yes, sometimes I misspeak. And only a cruel man would document those mistakes. I would never do that to someone else.
No, never.
Oh, okay.
I'm not someone who sees flaws. I only see assets. Oh,
now, Sona, you've been podcasting for a year and a half now as well.
I have.
Yeah, and I thought what I'd do is have you guys do a little quiz on podcast facts and terminology and see who among the two of you is the more just sort of knowledgeable podcast.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready to go, and I'm confident I will win.
Okay, this is exciting.
I'm pretty confident I will win.
Okay. I will win.
He doesn't know anything about technology, so I already kind of win anyway.
Very smart guy. I will win.
Okay, well, yeah, it's very, very smart about books. This was an American history quiz. He'd kill it, but anything that has to do with the 21st century, you're not good at it.
Wow. That's terrible. So do you think anything 2000 on, I don't know anything about?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to win this.
Yeah. Okay. These are statistics about podcasting by Nielsen and Edison. And so whichever one of you gets closest to this, there's 7 questions. Each one has a numerical answer. You're not expected to know, but let's see how close
you get. Do we win anything if we win?
Just bragging rights, I think.
Oh, I want those.
And those will go big here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like I have those anyway, but anyway,
go ahead. Oh my God, wow. Come on.
Okay, well, how about then you win this little half-filled Purell hand sanitizer, which is a hot commodity right now. These are not on the shelves.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, ready? First question. As of 2020, how many active podcasts are there? Now, these are not episodes. These are actual just individual shows.
Shows. Anybody who has a microphone can have a podcast. I'm going to say 1 million. Just make it a round million.
I'm going to say 850,000.
You know?
Fuck.
What?
You got it on the nose.
That makes me so angry.
Of course I did.
Me too.
Of course I did.
That makes me so mad.
Of course I did.
It's approximately 850,000.
Well, if you look it up, it's...
It's exactly...
Close, yeah, it's 850,000, exactly.
Okay, Coney, you go first on this.
Sure.
How many episodes of podcasts are there?
Right. Well, now it gets to be a much different number, but I would say that's 6.4 million episodes.
6.4 million. Sona.
8 million.
The answer is 30 million, Sona. We are all tied.
We were way off.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going by how many of them are actually listening.
Okay.
And that's still being generous.
Yeah. I mean, ones that you could listen to like from beginning to end.
Okay.
30 million.
You still didn't get it.
Okay. Welcome to Buttons. We talk about buttons on shirts. We did ceramic buttons yesterday. Today we're doing plastic buttons. Our guest today works with shirts. Sorry.
It's all right. Number 3, Sona, you will go first. How much of the U.S. population has listened to a podcast?
I think that's much less than
that's
we
percentage.
Would. Okay, I'm going to say it's much less than we would guess. I want to say it's about 12%.
You have to exclude all people over a certain age, just going off of my parents.
Yeah, mine too.
Who keep telling me, we want to see your podcast, but we don't know what channel it's on. And this is with my brother and sister's help. They help. My brothers and sisters try and help them, and they're still waiting for it. So that's a huge swath of the country. A country that's 327 million people in this country.
You saying the population doesn't help you.
That's
not doing anything.
It's 11%.
11%. Interesting you didn't do The Price is Right and just one-up her with...
No, that's cheesy. I'm not going to do that.
You should have because Sona was closer. It's 51%.
Whoa!
But wait a minute. Does that mean they've really heard it or it's been on in the background while they were shuffling?
It just says they've listened to it.
That's a lie. That's not true. These are incorrect.
I'm very surprised.
Yeah, that's not true.
I am really, really surprised.
That is an incorrect number.
No, you're only saying that because you got it wrong.
From the Nielsen and the Edison companies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Edison. Oh, always good to go to the people at Edison.
I know.
I made a light bulb. And Nielsen, the two most irrelevant companies. I'm sorry.
Doesn't like the results when he's not winning.
Look how hostile he gets.
Yeah. I'm not getting hostile. I just think, let's be honest.
I researched these.
Who told you this?
These are the generally accepted statistics.
You didn't have a problem when you did 850,000 podcasts.
Because I happen to know that that's the correct number.
Yeah, but that was okay then.
2-1. Sona has
the lead. We went to Nielsen, and we also asked Mr. Edison what he thought. We're awaiting his returns on a wax cylinder. Here they come. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere where Mary went, no Irish would hope to go. Hated the Irish.
Okay, number five. And this is back to Conan, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Also, you guessing 11% when I guessed 12% is a dick move. You should know that.
Wait, do we get out of order for who goes first?
You're a good host. So you haven't done this before, Gorley?
No, I have not given anyone a podcast quiz before.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you're a big guy in the podcast community, right?
Not in the podcast quiz community.
Okay. All right. I didn't realize that was a subset.
We're here at Buttons.
Oh, God. Look, you can't.
Tomorrow, clap
you're a podcaster
buttons.
Now. All right. Number five.
I'll never be a podcaster. I don't have what it
takes.
Oh,
sorry. Number four. No, Conan does go first.
Oh, my God. Let it go. No one cares, Gorley.
How many describe themselves? How many Americans in the U.S. population describe themselves as, quote, avid podcast fans? Percentage.
That would be, at this point, I'm going to say 20%.
20%.
I'm going to go higher, and I'm going to say 27%.
We are tied. The percentage is 6.
I knew that, but I just wanted to go a little higher.
You got it right, and you're still making your comments.
Well, I'm waiting to hear what Mr. Edison has to say.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Because I want to be on the cutting edge.
This is sad.
Sona, what percentage of podcasters are male, female? So what percentage are male? What percentage are female?
I think it's very male. So I'm going to say 70-30.
70-30. Conan.
I'm not comfortable with those gender classifications. I want something a little that's more inclusive.
Okay. So you're going to abstain from this question?
I think it's male, female. What is this? Is this 1955?
If you don't answer, I'm going to have to be forced to give it to someone.
Okay. If you're forcing me to ignore huge swaths of the population, I'm going to say 60-40, more male.
The answer is 52% male, 48% female.
Oh, come on. Sorry. You're right.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
Well, we're not over yet.
Okay.
Okay, back to you.
This is Conan.
Who's this now? Who goes first?
Shut up.
I would love it if
shut
you took—
Shut your Irish mouth.
I would love it if you took over a famous game show. Wait, hold on. Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Whose turn? Wait, it's like Wheel of Fortune. No, it's okay.
That's why this is
Pat Sajak's out for the week, but Matt Gorley's in. Wait, is it Sarah or I don't know. Maybe, wait, no, don't you go. Don't you go. You go. Wait, hold it. I wrote it on my hand. Oop, it's smudged.
Oh, my God. It's like doing a quiz with a toddler. It is.
Yeah.
By toddler, you mean someone who's filled with innocence.
Oh, my God.
Someone who has not been corrupted by the world around him, then yes, I'm a toddler.
Oh, God.
Simple love of mama drives me.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Christ. Number six.
Yeah.
What percentage of listeners increase the speed of playback?
Ooh. He doesn't even know what that means.
I do, because you have an option. Sometimes I accidentally hit my, I don't listen to this podcast much, but anytime I have, I try to slow it down a little bit to make my voice sound more masculine.
Oh, my God.
It's not possible to slow it down. I wish it was. It can only make it go faster. So what's the question again?
What percentage of U.S. listeners increase the speed of playback?
Oh, God, this really shows a lot about how much we know about podcasts.
Hey, just have some fun, okay? You don't need to.
You just have
shoot
to
the
guess
messenger.
A number.
I didn't come up with this quiz.
Wait, just have some fun?
Yeah.
What percentage increase playback speeds?
Impossible.
Oh yeah. And then because I don't enjoy this game, next percentage.
Oh my God.
Which percentage of Italian women?
You are a galactic asshole.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it's impressive.
I mean, that spans. What percentage increase?
You can win it right here if you get this.
I'm gonna say 9%.
Okay, Sona, you can do this. Stay in the game. Come on.
I'm gonna go a little higher.
He's nodding and stuff. He's like giving you.
No, he's
not. I looked down at my paper.
No, he's not.
Looked at your paper.
I'm
why?
Going. To, I'm going higher answers. Because I think people can be very impatient.
Does that include speeding through advertisements?
It doesn't say.
Oh,
and
damn
you've
it.
Already answered.
If it includes speeding through advertisements, it's much higher.
Okay, so he said 9%.
He's already building in.
I'm gonna just go slightly higher than him, and I'm gonna say 11%.
It's 19%, and you are still in this, Sona. This is the final question, and this is for all the marbles. All right.
This feels so mm-hmm. good.
All right. There's never been.
You're actually acting a little excited about the game. That's good.
Yeah. All right. The room feels taut. The tension is palpable. The contestants are poised to take home all of the spoils of victory for this podcast quiz. Number 7, how much time do self-described weekly podcast listeners listen per week?
Ooh. I got it.
I go first.
I know. I just want you to know that I know exactly what it is. Go ahead.
I'm going to say 20.
20 hours?
Yeah.
Is that too many?
Yeah, it's too many.
Shit.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's too many.
Yeah, it's going to be more in the four range. Conan's the winner.
6 hours and 30.
Yeah!
What, 30? Did I say 20?
You said 20.
That's you said too many. 20.
Well, because some of the podcasts people listen to are hours and hours long.
Yeah, but those are, I mean, come on.
That's true. Something wrong with those your people. Logic.
But, I was saying, you know, people are commuting a lot. They're commuting a
you
lot.
Know what? Sona, learn to be home. Like me, a good loser.
Oh,
had I lost, I would have been very gracious. Uh-huh. We'll never know.
I cannot believe I lost this quiz.
I'm sorry, too. I don't.
But also,
I
can I say
I'm
this wasn't
so angry?
These percentages, and I mean, is that really telling us how much we know about podcasts?
It's all the information that's out there. It's all I could find when I looked for about 2 minutes.
My blood
here
is boiling.
Your reward. It is a half-filled bottle of Purell hand sanitizer.
I drink this stuff.
Yeah.
Listen.
My blood is actually boiling right now. No. I am filled with an incredible amount of rage. I hate
be.
That I lost this.
You don't like to lose. You're not a good loser.
I'm not.
Which is surprising because you think you'd be inured to it by now.
I am really upset.
Are you really?
Yes.
This isn't a big deal. And yet I won.
Oh, you know, shut up. You're saying it's not a big deal because you won. If
did
you
I?
Didn't win,
did I win? I forget who won.
If no, you didn't you win, didn't. You'd you be lost. An absolute dick right now.
Yeah. Please. Let's not use that word. I find that to be offensive and a little gender specific.
Oh,
very sensitive.
I'm so mad.
Various genders.
I'm so mad.
Anyway.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened
Well,
to
we
me.
Might have to do more quizzes just so you can win.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we learned a lot.
We did. We learned a lot about some of our character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I won graciously.
Oh, my God.
Very hard to win graciously.
Let's get out of here.
I need to not be in here anymore.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Sona Movsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. The show is engineered by Will Becton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.